Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So been speaking about Ben and Jerry's quite a lot over the last 2 days or so. And of course, for South Africans who don't travel a lot to Israel, it is a bit confusing because we don't get Ben and Jerry's here. And I was a bit disappointed about that because I would have loved it that we would have had it here just so I could stop buying it. But it just didn't work out that way. That said, it has become a massive story, and we wanted to find out why. Michael Dixon, he's the author of Is Resilience, What Israel Can Teach the World, as well as the executive director of Stand With Us Israel. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm doing well. You do have Haagen-Dazs, though.
We do have Haagen-Dazs, and we are very loyal to our Haagen-Dazs. We love our Haagen-Dazs here, which is a good thing because it would have been quite sad if we had to give that up.
Absolutely. No one's asking you to.
All right, great. So why is this such a big story? And that's part one of the question. The other part of it is, and I was discussing it with a friend yesterday, is it really negative for Ben and Jerry's? What I'm seeing on social media is negative, but we also know that we live in our own echo chambers. So what does it look like outside of our own echo chambers?
Yeah, so there's a great question. So Ben and Jerry's is a huge ice cream brand, particularly in the United States, but in other countries around the world. It has what they call a social mission, which means they go ahead with certain political causes, but it's actually owned by an international corporation, Unilever, which we all know has multiple products, hundreds of brands all over the world. And so they made this decision, and the decision is a result of BDS pressure from hate groups that has been going on for a very long time. These groups oppose Israel's right to exist. And so they announced they would cut ties with their factory and their licensee in Israel. Obviously that's discriminatory, and that's something that we at Stand With Us, and I'm sure many others around the world, are campaigning against. But yes, actually this can have serious repercussions for them, because in recent years, over 30 states in the United States have passed anti-BDS legislation. And it leaves their parent company, Unilever, very exposed, because many states have investments in Unilever via pension funds, and they can activate their BDS legislation in order to withdraw those investments. And the reason they would is because those states don't want to be complicit in discrimination. So we're encouraging them to do so. And actually, this could end up being a big mess, and perhaps even a meltdown, if I may use a pun, for both Ben and Jerry's and Unilever.
Why is it so important to fight this type of activity? What makes BDS, and a lot of our listeners might be neutral to Israel. A lot of our listeners are Jewish, some are not Jewish, but it's often confusing because the South African press is very negative and very anti-Israel. So a lot of what we see here is just this constant drip feeding, sometimes it's more than drip feeding, of negativity. What makes BDS what you've called a hate group?
So look, we all want to support peace, and Israel finds itself in a conflict with the Palestinians and with other players in the Middle East. Having said that, I always say quiet coexistence happens every single day in Israel. So there are moves to peace. There are moves on the ground that are happening every single day. What BDS does is says Israel is uniquely wrong and the Palestinians are uniquely right. But more than that, it says we don't want a state of Israel, and what we should do is boycott Israel. And of course, they make that false analogy between Israel and apartheid South Africa. So they trample on the memory of apartheid and everything that happened under then in order to appropriate it and throw it as something that Israel supposedly represents. Well, if you walk down the streets of Israel, and it's summer now, people are on the streets, they're enjoying themselves, you'll see people of diverse backgrounds, and you'll see people from Arab backgrounds, Jewish backgrounds, and others all coexisting together. What BDS says is we should uniquely boycott Israel. And of course, that is not something that any brand should have any truck with, because at the end of the day, it's destructive, it's anti-peace, and of course, as boycotts have been from the Middle Ages through to the Holocaust and onwards, it's anti-Semitic.
Do you think that there's a chance that the Ben and Jerry's situation is one that could lead the way to other companies doing the same? Or has the reaction perhaps scared other companies off?
I think it should, because we saw this play out before with Airbnb. Mm. Airbnb said they were going to withdraw, their services from, and let's be clear, Jewish communities in what they call the West Bank, or as Ben and Jerry said, occupied Palestinian territory. Well, first of all, it's territory that Jews have lived in from time immemorial. But politically, you could call it disputed territory, right? But what they're saying is they would only withdraw it from the Jews. So let's understand what that means. That means that they will take away ice cream from Jewish kids if they live near the Kotel, near the Western Wall, near the old city of Jerusalem, and somehow Middle East peace is going to break out as a result. Obviously, that's completely wrong-headed, and nothing like that's going to happen, and it's naive. But secondly, it's discriminatory. So what happened with Airbnb was that they faced massive pressure, and they looked like less of a company that people would want to invest in. And actually, the result was that they capitulated and rescinded their policy. We are strongly pressuring Unilever to do the same, if anything, for their own self-interest. And actually, despite not having Ben and Jerry's there, your listeners can help. We have a campaign on standwithus.com right now, and people can send a letter to the CEOs of Unilever and Ben and Jerry's and top executives there. It takes 1 minute, and we've already had 17,000 letters in the last day been sent to those executives. If they go to standwithus.com, they can make their voice heard as well.
And Unilever itself, I mean, Unilever is very active in Israel. This must put them in a very uncomfortable position.
Well, it does. And of course, it puts everyone in an uncomfortable position. There was an Israeli licensee who had a relationship with Ben and Jerry's for, I think, 25 years. A great guy. His factory is in the south of Israel, completely undisputed territory, except for BDS, which doesn't want to see in Israel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there Arabs and Jews work together to distribute and make, they make it locally, ice cream and send it out to Israelis, Palestinians of every different background. They don't ask who's who. But of course, suddenly, Ben and Jerry said to him, well, actually, here are the Jews you can't sell it to. And if that's not discrimination, I don't know what is. So yes, they put him in a terrible position, and now they find themselves in an uncomfortable position, as they should.
Do you think that they were targeted because they are vulnerable to, in inverted commas, a woke agenda?
Yeah, 100%. And actually, this campaign has been going on for a decade. What we saw was that Ben and Jerry's social media was being bombarded with anti-Israel propaganda, and so much so that they stopped tweeting a while
back. Yeah, we noticed that. We spoke about it actually on the show.
Right. So yes, BDS tries to find a target. Now, a lot of companies won't be targets, but if they find this soft target, then they don't stop and they're relentless. So I think we have to raise our voices as much as we can and make sure that we're heard as well.
It's interesting as well, because the question that I asked you to begin with, which is that we're in danger of creating our own echo chamber. To some extent, they've fallen victim to that. We saw that with that. There was a food festival a few weeks or months ago in the United States where they withdrew an Israeli participant because of pressure. And then they realized that, wow, they actually, there are other voices out there. We seem to see this happening over and over again, don't we?
We do, and you're right. And of course, that was so egregious, you know, a food festival. And the only person not allowed to take part is the Israeli food truck. And what does that Israeli owner of a food truck in Philadelphia have anything to do with Middle East politics? Of course, absolutely nothing. And that cuts to the chase. BDS inherently goes after soft targets, sure, but it goes after Jewish owners, Israeli owners, with increasingly anti-Semitic rhetoric. And that's something that we have to call out. That food truck case is instructive, and we should tell people, as it was when we saw, you know, quite a long time ago now, but still, BDS activists in South Africa putting a pig's head in a kosher section as well. Mm, you know, it speaks to who they are.
Yeah, the mosque has and continues to slip all the time, as much as anybody says that one thing has got nothing to do with other. It's almost impossible to separate BDS from their anti-Semitism. That's where we have to leave it. Michael Dixon, author of Is Resilience, What Israel Can Teach the World, as well as the executive director of Stand With Us Israel. Michael, before I let you go, sorry, just give us the website again that people can go and add their voice to the objection.
Thank you, Howard. It's standwithus.com. You'll see on the homepage a button to click, and you can auto send letters to the top executives protesting this move. It takes just a minute. Standwithus.com.
Michael, thank you as always.